right, good morning.
We're getting close. We're doing Unit 10 today. That means we've got two more Sundays, 11, 12. And then we'll have a pancake breakfast after that. We're all going to get together as a church and have breakfast on the Sunday after we finish this in a few weeks. But this morning we're going to do Unit 10, Discovering God's Will Together. This week kind of builds on, it's really cool how all this is timing out. This week builds on last week, obviously, that's the way these things work. But this unit also dovetails perfectly with our message during worship today about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. The way this week's unit goes is really cool. After we finished all seven of the principles or the realities of experiencing God, last Sunday we got through number seven of the seven realities. And all of that was applied to us as individuals as we went through the study. Now in this unit, we see that those very same realities, the same principles, apply to us as a church as well. That God speaks to His church in very similar ways as He does to the individual. Our memory verse this week, Romans 12 and 5, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The church is not an organization. That's hard for us to grasp because we're used to being a part of the Kiwanis Club and the Masonic Lodge and the VFW and the Senior Center, and we're used to organizations. And so we often think of the church in the same way. We all have to pitch in and do our part. We have to pay our dues. Everybody's got to help everybody, because that's the way organizations work. But the church described in Scripture is not really just an organization. It is an organism. The church is a living entity. I had been studying for a very long time as a disciple before I finally caught on what it means that the church is the body of Christ. In essence, what it means is we are the physical presence of Jesus in the world today. We are the body, the physical expression of Jesus in the world today. Jesus walked on the earth while he was here. He walked on the earth 33-ish years. Those last 3 years, he conducted his ministry. He died on the cross, came back to life, ascended back up to sit at the right hand of the Father. After he ascended, sat at the right hand of the Father sent the Holy Spirit to indwell the church. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God, just as Jesus was the presence of God in physical form as he walked on the face of the earth. He was the presence of God. Now the Holy Spirit is the presence of God active on the earth. And what form does that Spirit take in order to conduct ministry and interact with people? The church. The church is the body of Christ. Well, and that body is made up of just like your body. You have arms, legs, eyes, Ears, the ear cannot do the job of the arm. The arm was created for the purpose of being an arm. The ear was created differently, out of different stuff, kind of, and in different form and for different purpose than the arm. You and I are not supposed to be the same. But we are all intended to serve a vitally important purpose in the body of Christ. You do your thing as God leads you. I do my thing as God leads me. Together, we're able to have a healthy body of Christ. One of our plumb lines in our church, plumb lines for us are guiding principles that help us know what's most important as a church family. One of our plumb lines is we focus on church health instead of church growth. Why is that? Because we are the body of Christ, not just an organization. If we were only an organization, then we would focus on growing the organization. Since we're the body, the very physical presence of the power and spirit of God, since we're the body of Christ, we focus on health. Now, we've seen that growth is a part of a healthy organism, but that growth is not our focus. The growth is a symptom or a byproduct of being healthy. Does that make sense? So we are the body of Christ, and in that body, each individual member, it says the individually members of one another. We belong to one another. Again, I know the list is growing pretty quickly. We add a verse every week, so we've got 10 verses under our belts already. But every one of these verses is so important. They are verses that you want to have within, not just understand, but you want to have it within you. And this is a great one that guides the church. So I encourage you to really memorize this one if you haven't already. It is worth the time. So let's review the seven realities, but this time look at them differently. We have looked at the seven realities from the perspective of the individual believer, how God interacts with one person. But now see the very same realities in the way in which God interacts with his church. Corporately, together, we experience these same things. As a church, we recognize that God is always at work around us. We don't have to figure out what the church should be doing to make God happy. God is already doing what needs to be done. But he loves us enough, he's going to choose to include us. When we get that figured out, it takes a whole lot of pressure off of the church where we don't have to work extra hard at being super creative so we can impress God with what we're doing for him. He's already doing his thing. What we want to do is be faithful to join him in what he's doing. Which takes us to the next couple of realities. God pursues a continuing love relationship with his church that is real and personal. It is individual, like we've talked about, but also he relates to his church. God loves us as his church. In Scripture, the church is referred to not only as the body of Christ, but also as the bride of Christ, emphasizing that relational aspect between God and the church, that God loves the church, wants to have a personal relationship with the church, that we as a church family are loved by God so much that he chooses to include us in what he's doing, which is that third reality. God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. He's doing His thing. He loves us as His bride, as His church. So He invites us to join Him in doing what He's doing in our community. He speaks to us as a church. Notice that He speaks by the power, He speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and one another to reveal Himself, His purpose, and His ways. That is true individually, but it's also true as a church. God speaks to the church together. He does that in the same ways. He talks to us through His Bible. He talks to us when we pray. He talks to us as He guides circumstances, and He talks to us as we relate to one another within the church. We're going to talk more. We're going to spend a lot of time on this here in just a minute. The fifth reality applies to the church as well. God's invitation to work with Him always leads you to a crisis of belief. This is where things get a little bit hairy for churches. When God is at work, He's doing something big. God is not just a maintainer. He's not just interested in keeping the status quo. He's interested in changing lives. He's interested in healing communities. For us to change, for Him to change lives and to heal communities, He invites the church to come and join Him in that work, knowing that that's going to make some of us uncomfortable. We like comfortable routine. We kind of like the same service the same way every Sunday. We like to be on the same committee for a long time so we know what to expect. We like to do things. We honor tradition so much that sometimes it's very hard for us to let go of tradition so that our hand is open to receive something new from God. That's the challenge. When God is doing something big, He calls us to do something big, and that usually means something new. That, I know, it's a scary word. It's almost a four-letter word in Baptist life. Change. That makes all of us uncomfortable, doesn't it? We all just kind of bristle. Wait a minute, who's going to make this change? Who decided to make this? Did we vote on this change? Who has the power to? Who decide? Wait a minute. If there's never change, there's never growth. If there's never growth, we cannot be healthy. If we're not healthy, we're dishonoring the body of Christ. God is at work. He's doing things. And He's inviting us because He loves us as His bride, because we represent the body of Christ. He loves us. He wants to invite us to do what He's doing, even though that's going to call us to this crisis of belief. Can we do this as a church? It forces us to open our minds and step out of routine and tradition. When that happens, we have to make major adjustments. When God calls us to something bigger than ourselves, we as a church have to say, okay, we're going to make these changes. We're going to leave some of the traditions. We're going to break some of the routines. Some of us are going to be uncomfortable for a while, but this is what's necessary to accomplish the big things that God is calling us to. We have to make adjustments. And then the seventh reality, you come to know God by experience as you obey Him. We talked a lot last week about how that applies personally. The same thing applies as a church. We cannot afford to divide ourselves based on personal opinion or on personal preference. We can't make decisions simply based on majority rule. Why? Because God is at work. He's inviting us to join Him. We struggle with finding His direction. When we understand His direction, we have to change to accomplish it. When we do that, God empowers the church even more, and we become even more alive, and we become more and more the church we were always intended to be. We become a lot like the church that we're going to talk about in worship, the early church in Acts 2, as the Holy Spirit empowers the church. The more we obey as a church, the more we experience His presence and His power at work in and through the church. So this is our goal. So I want us to kind of break this down a little bit this morning and recognize, first of all, that God speaks to His people as a body. Yes, He speaks to you individually, but He has brought us together as a body, as a family. And so there are those times when He's not only speaking to you, but now He's speaking to us. And this is the challenge where all of us have to be involved in the process of listening and experiencing what He wants us to hear and do and be. He speaks to His people as a body. Look at this verse. I don't know if you've ever noticed this in Acts 13. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Now, you know the story of Paul and Barnabas. They became great missionaries. The world came to know Jesus because of Paul and Barnabas, Silas and Timothy, and some of those other guys. It started here. I think that we could even make the argument, it's stretching it just a little bit, but that's what preachers do sometimes. Stretching it just a little bit, but I think we could make the argument that you and I might not even be here in a Christian church in North America had it not been for Paul, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy. Had the gospel not gone out of the Jewish home, the headquarters, had it not spread to the Gentile world, we might not even be here worshiping God. So it is that important. But notice how it happened. The Holy Spirit said, "Pick Barnabas and Saul. Set them aside. Have a missionary commissioning service for them." The Holy Spirit picked the people, told the body what to do. You say, well, the Holy Spirit has never been that clear to us. Well, I think He has. He doesn't speak in audible language most of the time, but He absolutely leads. And when does He lead? Did you notice that? While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. When we are seeking the Lord, we're worshiping Him in spirit and truth, we are praying and fasting, it is then that the Holy Spirit speaks to the church most clearly. One of the reasons that some churches never really hear from the Holy Spirit is that they're too busy carrying out their programs that they're staying busy all the time. They're running and rushing all the time. And so they don't have a chance to stop and listen. Here, the church was worshiping the Lord and fasting, which includes praying. And as they did those things, it was then that the Holy Spirit spoke. Pick Barnabas and Saul, commissioned them for missionaries. It says, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. God speaks to his people as a body. That call came to the group in realities 6 and 7. If we could kind of combine those two realities from Blackaby, God leads a church to be on mission with him. Remember, he said he invites us to join him in his work. Well, God does that as a church. He leads the church to be on mission with him. The whole church needs to come to know what God is saying and agree to follow. As a church, we have to wrestle with what is God calling us to do and to be. And as a church, we wrestle with that through prayer, fasting, worship. And then we have to agree that we're going to follow him, even through that crisis of belief, into a place of obedience. And the reason this works is because the church is the body of Christ. We've talked about that a lot in our message this morning. We even look at 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We, as his body, are here to hear, to listen, to obey, and then carry out all that he has planned. Every member plays a unique role in the body. Diversity is essential, and unity is essential. God speaks by his Holy Spirit through the Bible. This is reality number 4. God speaks through his Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. That's how he's going to talk to us as the body, so we know what it is he's calling us to do and to be. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. Obedience requires corporate adjustment. Just like we said individually, if you're going to join God in what he's doing, you got to change something. The same thing is true of the church. Obedience requires corporate adjustment. We have to be willing and able to make some changes along the way. Reality 6 again says you must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what he's doing. Blackaby says, I don't remember if it's in the workbook or the real book, the original work, but in there somewhere he says that God's will is discerned through transformation, not tradition. And that just jumped out at me. It's not that tradition is bad. Tradition can be good as long as God is continually calling us to those traditions. But the way he put it, I think, is so powerful. God's will is discerned through transformation. We begin to understand how God is working in the church as we allow him to change us. Transformation. That's how we begin to understand him as he changes us. Paul even said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Let God change your mind. That's hard. I know some of y'all are stubborn. Some of y'all don't never change your mind. It's inbred in some of you. Come from generations of people who never change their mind. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be This is a command to the church. Y'all be changed, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Let God change your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Again, you see, we understand His will through the transformation process. By testing, you'll discover the will of God. It's not enough for us just to figure out what works and then stay there and keep doing the same thing year after year after year after year. We've got to constantly be looking and searching and eager to hear God change our minds, change our hearts, do whatever you need to do to make us who you want us to be, that we can do what you've called us to do. He says that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Tradition is good, but discovering, discerning the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. Do we want good, or do we want good and acceptable and perfect? Obedience requires a corporate adjustment. We have to be willing to change as He calls us to change. Well, we've covered pretty extensively now that the church is a body of Christ. The reason we can call us the body of Christ is because He is the head of that body. Now, this is important to recognize. Jesus is the head of the church. Your pastor is not the head of the church. This is not an organization with a CEO. Your pastor is called, gifted by God, and intended to equip you for the ministry of the gospel. That's what the Bible says. We are the ministers of the gospel. Every member is a minister. My job is to equip you for your ministry. So if the pastor's not the head of the church, who is the head of the church? It's not the deacons. It's not the church council. It's not even the few people who have their own private business meeting in the parking lot, which doesn't happen in our church, by the way. If it does, I don't know about it. But you've been in churches where real business meetings happened in private in the parking lot. The head of the church is Jesus Himself. Now, if we could really get that and really understand what that means, we would make decisions differently. As it is, we continue to vote in our church. That's our tradition. There's a reason behind it. We don't want the one guy who stands behind the big desk to make all the decisions. We have what we call a congregational polity. Polity means how you make decisions. We have a congregational polity. We're all involved in making decisions. But here is where we might mess up. If we think the vote is intended to find the majority so that the most people possible are happy, we've messed up. That's the way a democratic republic works. That's democracy, if you want to use that term in that way. But that's not the church. When we vote, it really is not to find out which preference has the majority or which opinions are the strongest. When we vote, our goal is to discover the will of God. Jesus is the head of the church. He's got to be the one making the decisions. Since we're all going to be involved in the process, We want to hear from everybody. We want to talk before a vote. We want to pray before a vote. We want to have conversations. That's why even in our business meetings, we open the floor for conversation before we vote. Hopefully, there have already been some conversations and prayers if it's a big, life-changing kind of vote. So then when we vote, it's not you're voting your opinion or your preference. When we vote, you're voting, I believe, after prayer, maybe prayer and fasting, I believe God is leading us in this way. As a church, we make decisions based on what we believe God is leading us to do. So I like to use a word that's not a real word, but theologians and church people came up with it a long time ago. We don't function with a democracy. Our goal is a Christocracy, where Christ is the head. Our goal is to make decisions based on following Christ. So the next time we have a business meeting, don't come in and vote your opinion or your preference. Pray about it, wrestle with it, deal with it. Maybe even fast over it if it's a big life-changing thing. And then your vote is saying to the rest of the body, I believe that God is leading us in this direction. Now, does that mean that we will always have a unanimous vote? The answer to that is no. Because there will always be some who understand God's leading in a different way. Some are out of fellowship with Him. Some just like to be ornery. But sometimes it's all very well-meaning, and they sincerely believe that God is leading them in a certain way that is contrary to the way everyone else thinks. When that happens, we see the purpose of the vote. For the most part, what does the body think God is leading us to do? So we have a vote that's 97% to 3%. What do we do with those 3%? Judge them? Look at them ugly? Act mean to them? Kick them out? No. They're part of the fellowship. And God is working in them and through them and leading them. It might be that God was saying, yes, this is the way I want you to go, but I want you to have to work together. So there's 3% that you're going to have to reach out to and bring them on board. God said, you're not ready to move forward 100% with this as a church. There's still a little more wrestling for y'all to do. So yes, you're finding my direction, but you honor those 3%. You love them. You work with them. Hopefully, to bring them together. What if you win a vote 60% to 40%? If we ever win a vote 60% to 40%, I'm going to encourage the church not to act on that majority rule. Now, you can overrule me because we have a congregational polity. But my perspective will be, what that tells us is, yes, we believe that God is leading us in this direction, but the timing is wrong. Because if God was ready to move in this direction at this time, more of the church body would see that. We would, more of us would be in agreement in moving forward. Does that make sense? Does that ring true? Okay, so here is the challenge for the church. We live out the seven realities, but we have to do it together. This is a pivotal moment in our church's history. Because this year, we're going to make some huge decisions that are going to change our church. Our needs assessment committee is continuing to work and continuing to plan. We had a good meeting recently. We're going to have another meeting soon. And very soon, we're going to present to the church topics for specific prayer and conversation. Right now, we've got kind of three directions that the Lord is molding and working and planning, and we're debating and we're thinking and we're wrestling with it. We can either just kind of basically remodel what we have and kind of change things up. If we do that, we have to make sure that the money that it costs to do that really does enough good to make it worth it. So we got to wrestle with that. Another option is to build more of a building, so we expand our building. Another option is to relocate where we have room to build what we really need and room for expansion in the future. Obviously, the first option is less expensive. The second option is more expensive. The third option is most expensive. We're wrestling with these things. There are no secrets. We can be transparent. I'm telling you what we're thinking about. But I want you to be praying about these things, because these are huge issues. But I also know that no matter what we pick, no matter what the Lord leads us to, it's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require change. So you and I, as the Experiencing God group, we need to lead our church in decision making. Understanding how it works now, we need to be the spiritual leaders of our church to guide our life groups, our Sunday school classes, our committees, our friends in seeking God, letting Jesus be the head of the church, being a healthy body of believers as we move forward into the plan that God has for us. I love this unit because it's just so timely. Not only does it fit well with the messages this morning, but I think it just fits perfectly with where we are as a church. We're beginning to move forward in big ways, and so we needed, as a church, we needed to pause for a second and remember and realize how decisions are made, why we make those decisions, and how we work together in accomplishing God's plan. So I was really grateful for this unit to come up at just this time. I think God is actively involved in leading us even through this unit this week. Just the timing of it. Yeah, God's timing is perfect. His timing is perfect. There's a gospel song, not Southern gospel, but gospel song that we may not all be familiar with, but many other churches sing it on a regular basis, and it is, He's an on-time God. He is an on-time God. Father, we do want to thank you for our time together. Thank you that you have called us, yes, to be friends, to fellowship, to share, but you've called us to something bigger than that. You've called us to be family as we are your children. And you've called us even beyond that to be the literal physical body of Jesus Christ in the world today. Lord, that's just amazing and mind-blowing to us. Help us that we might be a strong, healthy body. Lord, help us that when the time is right for us to make big decisions, Lord, we pray that you would guide us, that we would hear you speak, that we would long to sense your presence, your power, and to follow you as you lead. May we be obedient. May we be unified. Lord, may we be the church that you've intended us to be today, and may we set the stage for this church to be the church that you intend us to be in the future. We ask your blessings as we move forward in exciting times. In Jesus' name, amen.